This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Book lovers know the feeling well. Those certain paperbacks you've read time and time again that are starting to fall apart. You've got the hardbacks with the pages slowly coming away from the cover, but you can't bring yourself to throw away the literature that gave you such joy. So instead of having to discard these books, what about giving your pre-loved books a new life? I have Philip Yongki Chung, founder of Unmanned Pre-Loved Bookstore, Boku, on the line today to discuss that and more.
Hey, Christine. Thank you for having me. So Boku is basically a self-service secondhand bookstore, right? That's based in KL. I think it's a very new concept, right? It's a self-service unmanned store. So I think it's a very new concept in Malaysia or even in Southeast Asia. So I think a lot of people are very interested or intrigued by it. Mm. So I think the publicity we got in the first 2 months was quite good, right? And
So the retail store, the actual physical store that you have is fairly recent, but this is not necessarily a recent development in terms of you getting involved with the transactional aspect of secondhand or pre-loved books, right? Tell me where that started from.
Yeah, so I started actually selling secondhand books online for, I think, the past 1 year already, right? So I actually had this idea about 2 or 3 years ago, right? When I visited a friend's house and I saw the amount of books she had at home, right? I think it was over 1,000 books. And it came to my mind, like, what's all these books doing here? Then I knew she was a, you know, avid reader, right? She loves to read. So, but then she was telling me, like, you know, after I read a book, and that's basically it. Once I read a book, right, then I just keep it stored in my bookshelves, right? And then I move on to the next book. Sometimes I will go back to read another book, read the same book again. But then, you know, at most times, I think we only read one book once and then we just keep it in our bookshelves until we need the space, need more space, then we, you know, either donate it or, you know, trash it out, you know, put it to a recycling center, basically. Mm. So then I got this idea. I'm like, it came to my mind, like, okay, why not, you know, instead of discarding these books, why not, you know, putting it for a better purpose, right? You know, repurposing these books and selling it online. Because I also join, like, a lot. I read pre-loved books myself, right? And I join these Facebook communities or Facebook groups that sells pre-loved books, right? So there's a lot of people who actually does that. So I thought to myself, like, maybe I can start doing that first and see how it works. So I basically took some of my own pre-loved books and started posting on the Facebook groups. And I see, okay, the results was actually not bad. You know, people were actually buying them and I see a lot of people selling them too. So then that's how I started, you know, slowly having the idea from idea to inception to, you know, conceptualizing how do I want to go about this and then bringing it to life.
Mm. And what was the draw of pre-loved books for you as a consumer?
The draw is basically, so I read mainly nonfiction books, especially on those on business, self-help, motivation, and that can, those books, those kind of books can be very expensive, right? So that's why as a new book, it can be very expensive. So what I do is that, so I go online and search for those books on these Facebook groups, and basically you get it like 80% off, right? Because it's pre-loved. People just want to, you know, just basically repurpose these books as well. So that's how I started off. And that's, the draw for me is really like, you know, I don't want to waste these books as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know that if, I know myself, like if I've read one book, for example, and I'll just put it aside, you know? So what I want to do is really to, I don't want to spend so much money on that book, especially.
Right. Yeah. So essentially, you know, it is obviously a cost-saving thing, but it's also... Yeah. Lengthening the life cycle of a book, because as you mentioned, there are a lot of books that do not lend themselves to being reread over and over again.
Yes.
In a way, you can only read like one self-help book once, and then that's kind of all you get from that one experience, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of passing on the benefits of that book to other people as well. Mm-hmm. So how did that work initially when you first started with this online community and you started to aggregate or sort of collate these transactions underneath your umbrella?
Mm-hmm. So I think at that point of time, I was doing it all by myself,
mm-hmm.
right? And what I did was, okay, I need books at the point of time to sell, right? I was thinking, so of course I approached my family and friends to see if any of them want to let go of their books.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I go by, I was thinking that, okay, this can actually be a actual business. So what I did was, you know, on those Facebook groups itself, I asked, you know, I post up a post and ask people that, you know, I want to buy your books for 1 ringgit each in bulk. Would you like to sell them? And surprisingly, a lot of people were willing to do that, right?
Mm.
Because I state my reasons there as well, right? I want to repurpose the books and they don't mind because basically they have no use of the books anymore, right? And essentially what they're going to do is just to discard them or recycle them. So it's like, okay, this is a good idea. They actually get some cash out of it. You know, some of them would even tell me that I would use this cash to, you know, spend it on, you know, charity organization, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So logistically, you know, did you have to collect all the books yourself? Were they sent to you? What yes. was that like?
Yeah. So I had to collect all the books myself. So essentially, I can only do it around Klang Valley area. So as far as, you know, Klang, Shah Alam, Kota Kemuning, I would go because I'm based in PJ, right? So even places where it's 1 hour away, I think in Dunkill, I've went before.
Mm.
And surprisingly, a lot of times when I will ask them to show me some pictures of their books, right? When they want to sell it to me, I'm like, okay. But when I arrive there, they're like 1,000 more books than what they showed me actually.
Mm.
You know, so alone I had to chuck all those and put it on my car. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work.
Right.
And once that's done, I come back. I basically have to clean the books one by one and then upload it online. Take photos of it and upload it online one by one as well. So I've been doing that for the past 1 year now.
Yeah.
And that's like, I think, over tens of thousands of books already.
And I assume that at that point, I mean, before you had the retail outlet, mm-hmm. you were storing all of these books, I suppose, in your home.
Yes. So essentially, I was storing it on my room,
mm.
right? And then, you know, then of course, my room is only so small, right? So
right.
there's not enough space. So essentially after, so I think, as I mentioned just now, I started this about 2 or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
The idea came about and I did it in a very small scale. Then I stopped for a while because I realized that, you know, if I want to scale, I need a bigger space,
mm.
which I definitely could not afford at the point of time. I had my full-time job as well. So that was my main focus. But it was during the MCO last year or 2 years ago, right? That I started thinking that, you know, I want to start something on my own.
Mm.
And I want to start a business, but a business with a purpose. Business with social aspects. So that's how Boku was born, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it was 1 year ago that I decided, okay, I'm going to rent a space and I'm going to store all my books there.
Right.
So I went around PG area looking for a space like this. So I rented a house in SS2 and I store all my books there, which I use as my warehouse today as well.
Got
for
it.
Both my online as well as retail business.
Got it. The online part of it, the part that you started with the community groups and such, from my understanding, that you did sort of put some money into that. You had like
yes.
500 ringgit just for that initial bulk buy of the inventory. But to make enough sales to start the retail outlet, you raised about 15,000 ringgit as well. So is the SS2, I guess, warehouse, is that separate from your retail outlet then?
Yes, that's separate from my retail outlet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But basically, actually, for my retail outlet, all the money raised was actually my sales in the past 1 year.
Got
right,
it.
Selling online. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, have you broken even yet? Are you profitable? What's the progress like?
Yes,
that?
Yes. We have definitely broken even
mm-hmm.
and slightly profitable, I would say. I think, but we are basically I'm putting a lot of the money back into the business as well
mm-hmm.
as buying more books as well as setting up the retail outlet. I use quite a lot of money to set it up as well,
mm.
right? So the retail outlet, I would say, has just broken even in just the past 2 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's quite good results.
Mm. And in terms of the profit margin as well, the
mm-hmm.
books that you buy, as you mentioned, you buy in bulk and for a fairly
yeah.
cheap price. And then when they are in your retail outlet, or I guess when they're on your online page, They range from anywhere from 5 ringgit to 15 ringgit, right? So tell me a little bit about that, you know, why that particular price range and sort of what justifies which book goes in what category.
Correct. So basically in Buku itself, the retail outlet, I think most of my books were priced at 5 ringgit and there are some at priced at 10 ringgit, right? This is essentially because it's an unmanned store, right? So it just makes it a lot easier to have just two different prices. I wish I can just have one price, right? But then, you know, as you mentioned, some books are of maybe better quality or more in demand, then I can set a higher price for that as well, right? But actually, essentially all, most, I think about 90% of my books are actually priced at 5 ringgit each, right? And I think that price point is something very easy for someone to come up with, right? It's like less than a cup of coffee nowadays. So a lot of my followers or community that I've built online, right, they also are very happy because then they have a place now to go to and to purchase, right? So a lot of them also go there and purchase and then they donate back their books to me as well to sell because people like that concept, right?
I was about to ask, do you still collect books from individuals as well? Because I do understand that you also make it an effort to collect books from charitable organizations like the Salvation Army and Parents Without Partners as well. So do you still actually collect individual books as well?
Yes, I do. But very selectively, I would say, especially if they are nearby and I think the location I can reach easily or within half an hour, then I would actually go to that, to their location. But also if the people who I think in the past 2 months since I started Buku as well, a lot of people have come to me and said that they wanted to donate books to me. So I'm like, sure, you know, if you can, you're okay to drop it off at my outlet, you know, just let me know. Then we'll process the books back then.
I mean, right? in a way, your inventory is never ending, right?
Correct. Yeah. But I guess 90% of the books that we have today are from charity organizations like the Salvation Army, Ciji, you know, Parents Without Partners. So I collaborate with a lot of these charity organizations, you know, it's a give back as well. You know, so I always tell people that even before you start buying books from me, you're actually contributing to a greater good already.
Fantastic. All right, well, it's time for a short break, but after that, I'll continue speaking to Philip all about Buku and why he decided to leave it an unmanned store. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I'm speaking to Philip Yong Ki Chung, founder of unmanned pre-loved bookstore Buku. Before the break, we talked about the inception of Buku, why he decided to invest in his passion for pre-loved books. And now we're going to get onto a very interesting topic, which is the fact that the store is unmanned. Before the week, we were talking about the fact that logistically you were handling everything by yourself. You didn't have any logistics off. You were in your own car, bringing these books to your own home and then your own sort of rented warehouse space. So what was the decision behind, instead of hiring more staff, which is kind of the logical step for more for other, you know, companies, to completely leave the retail outlet unmanned instead?
Okay, so backstory a bit here is that, you know, I've been running this business, online business, for the past 1 year, and I've built a small following online as well. And a lot of my customers have been asking me, you know, like, can they come and view the books? Can they come and, you know, they want to see the condition of the books, right? And they want to browse the whole collection that I have. But then, as I mentioned, it's a warehouse, right, that I'm having right now. So it's not very convenient for people to actually come to my place. So then I've always, personally, I've always wanted to start a library, right, a community library. So, but then a cost to maintain one can be quite hefty, right? So that's why I decided that starting a pre-loved bookstore would be a good balance, right? But the thing is that I have my full-time job. So, you know, I can't be manning the store myself, that's for sure. And as you know, the prices of my books in my store is about 5 to 10 ringgit. Mm-hmm. So if I have someone there full time, a staff full time working for me, then that would also add on cost, right? So I decided that why not, you know, now since the lockdowns that happened about 2 years ago helped a lot in the acceleration of digital transactions, right? The use of QR codes and the payment apps and all. So I thought like, you know, I think it's something that Malaysians are accustomed to already. So why not? And I try something new. I try something interesting that's not been done before. Because I'm in the tech industry myself. So I like this kind of concept as well. So I made it all into unmanned. Although it's unmanned, right? So I still have security measures in place as well and proper instructions that I put in for in my store for everyone to view and to read, right? So I think so far, everything has been going quite well.
Right. And so from my understanding, the way that it works is that you do have a security camera set up, right, that you can monitor what's going on at the store. Yeah. Customers will come in and then whatever books that they grab, they'll pay for using a QR code. So using an e-wallet like, GrabPay or Boost or Touch and Go or what have you. I mean, in that sense, though, there is that level of trust still. I mean, you may not be able to tell, for example, hypothetically, right, if they took 5 books and then paid 20 ringgit, that would be 1 book less. I mean, so is there any, I guess, backup plan or like protocol in place for if such a thing might happen?
So I think what I want to try to build here is a trust, right, as you mentioned just now. And to build trust, I first need to trust others, or I need to put trust in action. So that's the basis of my store as well.
Right.
You know, I want to trust you. I want you to trust me. I want you to, you know, buy the books based on trust. I first have to trust you. That's the basis of it. And of course, like you mentioned just now, I have my security cameras there, which I monitor quite often as well. And interestingly, right, you know, a lot of people actually, after picking the books and paying, they would come near the security camera and show me how many books they actually
bought. So they keep themselves accountable.
Yes. And that's really interesting. I did not expect that at all. You know, and I put my phone number there as well. And a lot of people actually send me the images of the books that they bought, as well as the transaction receipt that they paid, you know. And based on this, in the past 2 months, I've been tracking all this and looking at my security cameras, I can say that people who read actually would not steal a book or would not, you know, try to do anything funny.
Right.
I think
they respect the integrity of like that relationship, I guess.
Correct. Yes. Yes. So to me, Buku is actually an experiment, right? More than a business, because it's something new. It's based on trust. It's more an experiment. And I would say today, this experiment so far, it's been quite successful.
I think that's absolutely lovely. Now, you know, there was this survey that revealed that 54 million used books were sold in the UK in 2021.
Yes.
We don't necessarily have similar research numbers at the moment for Malaysian consumers. But do you think Malaysians have become, I guess, more open to buying secondhand or pre-loved books compared to new books, do you think?
Definitely. I think one thing I always say that the knowledge and the value that's in a pre-loved book is actually the same if compared to a new book, right? So why not pre-loved? Yes, I understand that not everyone can be accustomed to a pre-loved book because of sometimes it's condition, but this is like for sellers like me, what I try to do is that I try to be as transparent as possible, right? I take more pictures of the books, or if customers request for more pictures, then yes, I'll send them more pictures as well. In a retail store, you can browse freely. Right, you can have a look at the condition of the books before deciding to purchase the books. And again, the price point that I have, like 5 ringgit a book, right, it's a no-brainer, I think, for someone to try. You know, they may not be used to it at first, right? But, you know, for 5 ringgit, it's like, okay, let's try. Maybe I would be okay with a pre-loved book, right? And once they get the hang of it, then like, okay, you know, it's not that bad having a pre-loved book. Actually, most of the pre-loved books I have today is the conditions are still very good and very readable, right? Because as I mentioned just now, a lot of people just keep their books at home after reading it once and it just stays there. Right. Maybe there'll be slight foxing and all, but you know, why not?
I mean, and even if hypothetically, you know, it was one of those, I mean, I think we all have a book like this at home. I definitely do. You know, those the hard covers where you've read them and the glue of the spine has sort of dried up and the pages are falling out. But that doesn't mean that the content of the book has changed. It doesn't mean that the value of the book has changed in terms of what it can give you
as
an experience for a reader, right? So all in all, you know, put a little bit of tape on there, you're kind of good to go, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, to that end, I suppose, have there been any misconceptions that you've encountered about pre-loved items that you've had to sort of combat?
I think in the community that I am in, especially the Facebook groups, you know, they're specialized in pre-loved books, right? Right. Of course, there are a lot of people who would question the condition of the books, right? So I get that a lot in when I first started. Because they want, although we're talking about pre-loved, they want it to still look completely new. So I guess, again, to give them the security as well, right? So I would take more pictures and put up or show them the condition, right, of every angle of the book to let them know that, okay, this book is still in this good conditions.
Right.
A lot of people would think that, you know, pre-loved means rubbish. Pre-loved means something that people do not want already. But essentially, it's still, pre-loved does not have to mean that. Pre-loved can be still like 90% new, the book, the whole book, right? If we're talking about a book expert. And that's how we slowly, I think as sellers like myself, we slowly convince people that, you know, these books are still actually in very good condition. You know, instead of thinking of it as the condition is very bad or it's or torn or tattered, you know. No, it's actually very good condition. And the best thing is you get it at like 80 to 90% cheaper. Right?
Exactly. And finally, you know, you mentioned earlier that you have these ideas to develop Boku further. You know, the pre-loved bookstore is sort of one step of the evolution along the way to something better or something bigger. So what are the ideas or the plans for the future of Boku?
So I think there are a few things here that I want to do. I think first thing first, I would like to start a few more Boku outlets throughout Malaysia, or at least in the peninsula of Malaysia, right? So I'm actually in discussions with a few different locations in like Penang, Johor currently. And I think the next step is also, but I think the location is very important, right? So currently Boku is in Kedai. Kedai is a very creative space, I would say, creative retail space. So I'm looking at similar locations as well, right, like this. And then the next step is, I think one of my dreams is always starting a cafe, right? So what I want to do is actually to start a pre-loved book cafe, you know, where people can come and browse and purchase as well, right? Because the outlet here, as I mentioned just now, I always wanted to start a library of my own. But the outlet I currently have is only 200 square feet, so it's quite small. Or the most I can put is all books, like bookshelves and books in. So I have not enough space for people to sit and to chill and to read a book or have a cup of coffee, right? So the reason why I chose this space currently is also because there's a cafe next door, right? So, and there's a lot of sitting spaces outside as well. So I'm okay if people want to take a book out to the next door cafe or outside sitting areas to have a read. Right. So what I want essentially is have my own book cafe where people can come and chill, you know, on a weekend. That's what I love to do, right? On weekends, I will with a book in hand. Now I'll go to a fine cafe and have a cup of coffee with my book there and spend basically a couple of hours. So that's the what I want to do, my goal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that idea, and I think, you know, it's sad because a lot of physical bookstores are no longer really available to us. I mean, you think about the kind of mainstream bookstores that we know of, so many of them have left their physical locations, and I still have very vivid memories of, especially when I was younger, you know, running into the bookstore, grabbing a book and sitting down on the floor and, you know, desperate to read it already. And so I think, you know, allowing that and aiming for that kind of environment is only going to help foster, hopefully, you know, a whole new community of people who love reading and who love, you know, literature and sort of who love that form of spending time, I think. And I think that's really lovely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Philip. That about brings us to the end of today's conversation. So thank you for talking to me all about Boku today.
Thank you, Christine. Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking to Philip Yong Ki Chung, founder of Unmanned Pre-Loved Bookstore Boku, today on Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and if you've missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and find it again on our app, which is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. And you can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen back to the podcast and download it as well. This is BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.